Trump and Fiora, Messiah, gonna build a wall.
Well, except we're not actually gonna build a wall. Scott Adams did this great apology for Donald Trump, where he said, well, Donald Trump didn't really mean a physical wall. See, Donald Trump never actually said it was a physical wall. He was using it metaphorically. Like, oh, that's fantastic. The fucking hamster wheel rationalization. No, Donald Trump didn't mean a physical wall. No, it was metaphorical. Don't forget, the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility, you are wrong, and I am right. Has it ever been different? No, it hasn't. It's always been that way. Even back in the olden days of the podcast, when I was wrong about things, I was still right. You know why? Because it's metaphorical. It's not a real right. It's a metaphorical right. And this is the weapons platform from which I launched the cruise missile my intellect owns and on and destroys motherfucking snakes all around the world. Yes, welcome to Stating the Obvious podcast. Speaking of podcast and hamster wheeling. So I've been listening to the Grandpa Lampshade that was recommended to me by one of my listeners. And, I mean, and look, it's a good podcast. I recommend Grandpa Lampshade. I enjoy his podcast. Like all statists, he's wrong about some things, but you can't be a statist and not be wrong. Okay, it's those go together. If you are a statist, you're wrong about some things. And it's fine. I can handle the normal things that statists are wrong about. But I'm listening to Grandpa Lampshade, and he's going off about how, well, there's these people, and they say that because Grandpa Lampshade is a national socialist. Like, and this is what's interesting to me going into the world of, I guess we'll call it national socialist. That aspect of the internet sphere and listening to this podcast is, man, these people are serious. I mean, they are Nazis. They're serious. They like think Adolf Hitler was the Messiah. Like the way people who voted for Obama looked at Obama as this perfect, infallible being that was going to solve their problems. Right? The way people looked at Trump, he's going to make America great again. He's going to build a wall. Right? I mean, they actually think Adolf Hitler was a messiah. Okay, they don't think that Adolf Hitler was a guy and some of the stuff he did was good and some of it was bad and he fucked up here and he... No. I mean, they think he's the messiah. And it just goes to show it doesn't matter where you fall. None of this is not even remotely what I was going to talk about today. Have I ever fucking started a podcast talking about what I was going to talk about? Not really here on Stating the Obvious. Now, the previous edition of Yes, All Women Are Like That, that one I did. By the way, there's going to be a part 3 coming, because I'm still not finished talking about Abby, and then there's some other stuff. And then I made the mistake of going on the internet, and I just saw something else that needs to go in there, and then there's something. And then I heard something else on Jared Taylor's podcast about Me Too. I got to put that in there. Oh, God, it's never going to end. It's never going to fucking end. Back to Grandpa Lampshade. His podcast I do recommend you listen to, because it's good. He's going on about And then there's these people, and they try to say that National Socialists, they're communist, because socialism and communism are the same thing, and socialism is right there in the title. And let me tell you, National Socialists, we're not communist. We're the only people that ever opposed communism. I'm going, no, motherfucker. Socialism is communism. Why is this so hard to understand? I did. Does anybody remember? You know, does anyone actually listen to this podcast, or you just pretend you listen to it? Anyone remember when I went through the Nazi Party political platform here on this podcast, fucking line item by line item? And I said, this one is a Republican talking point. This one's a Democrat talking point. And the final score was, I should have fucking gone on my own website and looked it up. The final score was like 30-something Democrat talking points and, I don't know, 13 or something Republican talking points. No, the Nazi Party, ideologically speaking, is closer to the liberal Democrats of the year 2018 in the United States than it is to the Republicans. The Nazis were practically communist. Just because they hated the communist, okay, look, just because Adolf Hitler and Nazis hated the communist doesn't mean they're not communist, okay? There's a bunch of feminists who hate other feminists. They're still feminist. There's a bunch of leftists who hate other leftists, because that's what their entire world revolves around, is hating other people because they don't have any other point of reference, okay? Just because you hate communists doesn't mean you're not a communist. And then Grandpa Lampshade, he's going on about how National Socialism, well, that's the form of government that will work. See, that's the form. Say, oh, here we, that's the form of government that will work. Because National Socialism has built-in checks and balances. I can't make this up, guys. I can't make this up. Okay, so let's talk about the built-in checks and balances of National Socialism. Where were the built-in checks and balances of National Socialism, which is the only form of government that really works, when Adolf Hitler did two of the dumbest things in the history of the human species? And these are the two reasons why there is not right now a Nazi Europe. Not only did Adolf Hitler do two of the dumbest things in the history of the human species, he did them at the same fucking time. Now, I'm asking the National Socialist, who may or may not be listening to this podcast, and this is a serious question. I'm ragging on Grandpa Lampshade, but it's a good podcast. I want some serious answers to this shit. When you spew some shit like National Socialism is the only form of government that will really work and it has checks and balances in it, I need to see some fucking evidence of this. Where were the checks and balances when Adolf Hitler made number one stupid mistake that you don't do? He said, hey, my country is engaged in a war. I think I'll start a second front. And then Adolf Hitler made the other stupid mistake. Adolf Hitler said, I think I'll invade Russia. But no, see, Adolf Hitler did not stop there. Adolf Hitler took these two dumb concepts and combined them into one. I think I'll open a second front by invading Russia. Oh, God damn it. And this is your fucking messiah? I mean, he's dumber than Obama. You don't open a second front by invading Russia. I can find 9-year-old children, and you tell them that and they be like, oh, that's a bad idea. Yeah, it is. Okay, so Hitler is not your fucking messiah, guys. He's not your fucking messiah. And I have other bad news for you. He's not coming back to lead you to victory. Holy shit, kids. Look, I am all... I'm all about... I am 100%. Actually, I'm more serious. And this is something... I'm getting way ahead of myself. I'm going to talk about this in the future. I'm way more serious about this than the actual fucking Nazis are. Okay? I am all about taking political power away from women, and I am all about sending the non-white people back to where they came from. I have a feeling that most of you Nazis will fucking pussy out before you ever did either of those things. Because it's easy to talk a lot of shit about how you're a Nazi and Adolf Hitler was the messiah and National Socialism works. But when it comes to actually telling women they're not going to be allowed to vote anymore, I don't think most of you have the balls to do that. So I have some points of overlap with the National Socialist. I would prefer to see white people have their own fucking nation state and exist. That would be great. I'm 100% on board with you guys on that one. But when you start spewing this shit about how National Socialism works. Yeah, where were the checks and balances. And about how what a great person Adolf Hitler was. With this, he was the Messiah. Adolf Hitler, he wrote this in Mein Kampf. Oh my God, Adolf Hitler wrote a book. Well, so did Barack Obama. He is not the fucking Messiah, guys. You motherfuckers need to calm the fuck down a little bit and relax. All right, that's not what we're talking about today. What's up, y'all? It is the Great One himself. I am the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society, been on the internet since 1999, been podcasting for 13 years. You can send me email, God, dog spelled backwards, God, at cynlibsoc.com on the interwebs. I had to guzzle water there. This is also supposed to be a low-key episode. I'm getting this recorded. I gotta save up some energy. It's 1500 hours right now on the 17th of May in the year of our Lord and Savior, the reincarnation of Adolf Hitler, the Trump and Fuhrer, who didn't really intend to build an actual physical wall. It was just a metaphorical wall that he was talking about. Thank you, Scott Adams, for covering his ass on that one. Scott Adams is a fascinating guy also. Just in the rationalization hamster that motherfucker has. Holy shit. Which is odd because his book, what the fuck was the name of this book? How to Succeed by Failing or something like that. I've talked about it on the podcast. And it's a great book. And I think there's a lot of things in there that my personal experience, I would agree that these things are true, it makes sense, yada, yada, yada. And then he just does this bizarre stuff. Like in the presidential election, he came out saying, well, I'm in favor of Hillary Clinton because all the people around me are in favor of Hillary Clinton, and if I don't support her, I'm scared they're going to do violence against me. Which I'm like, okay. I mean, look, I'm all about not running down the street and like, I don't go down the street talking about taking voting away from women so that people will beat me up, okay? But at the same time, I'm not going to come out and say, I'm in favor of letting women vote so they don't beat me up. So I'm like, God, Scott Adams, what a pussy. And then he comes out and he says, well, now I'm in favor of Donald Trump because I saw Hillary Clinton's tax plan and she's going to take a whole bunch of my money if her tax plan goes through. And I'm like, oh, well, on one hand, I completely understand that. But on the other hand, well, that's kind of fucking selfish. And not just the selfish part, but the fact that you are perfectly willing to lick Hillary Clinton's ass until you found out that it might cost you some money. And then, okay, now you're willing to put your life on the line by announcing you're going to vote for Donald Trump because apparently you're rich, but you don't know how to buy a gun. So now, now that it might cost me some money, I'm willing to put my life on the line for Donald Trump. And then Donald Trump wins, and he writes this book, which I don't remember the name of it. It's, as far as I know, his latest one, where he goes through and he analyzes, he Captain Hindsights everything that Donald Trump's done. And he actually writes this in the book. He's like, Donald Trump is so brilliant. He's playing four-dimensional chess. He said that he was going to build a wall, but he never said it would be a physical wall. And he was just using that term as a metaphor. And he's going to do all these other things that are going to be like a building a wall. He's going to pass more laws and put more people on the border. And it's going to be like a wall. It's not a physical wall, though. And so it's brilliant. It's 4D chess. And I'm going, holy shit, Scott, it's Scott Adams. It's like, he's brilliant, and then he's a moron, and he's brilliant, and then he's a moron, and then he's brilliant, and then he's a moron, and then he's brilliant, and then he's a moron. Some of you are saying, great one, are you talking about Scott Adams, or are you talking about you? Ha! But I'm just like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? It's like Adolf Hitler. Well, he's brilliant, and he's a moron. He's gonna kick out the Jews, and he's gonna make everything perfect. And then he's gonna invade Russia and open a second front. God, I wonder if Scott Adams, you should write a book justifying fucking Captain Hindsighting and justifying all of Adolf Hitler's fuck-ups. See, guys, what you guys don't really understand is Adolf Hitler was playing four-dimensional chess. When he opened a second front and invaded Russia, see, as dumb people, we think that's dumb because we just don't play four-dimensional chess like he does. Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Let's move on. Let's do some of the stuff I'm actually going to do for this episode. I need another big swig of water, if I can talk, because I gotta hydrate. Because as soon as I finish recording this podcast, I'm going out to do some photography, assuming the model shows up, which I think this one might, but I've made that mistake before. Worst case scenario, I'll have a nice little bike ride, because we're just doing some outdoor photography. Have a nice little bike ride. The weather. This is the time of year that I really love Colorado. This is the time of year that you're more likely to get repeats on the fucking podcast. Oh my God, the weather is fantastic today. I was out and about earlier on the bike, running some errands and doing some stuff. And yes. Just not being indoors. Oh, it's beautiful. Listening to Aaron Clary, who may or may not be on the Greasy Pole in the future. Depends if he decides to sponsor the Greasy Pole or not. Aaron has started doing these, what do you call those gay things? The gay things that they do on YouTube. These chat things, these things where people come in. I'm kind of giving him shit, but I'm kind of not. It's YouTube. Oh, God, it's YouTube. I just want to puke. So he's doing this chat thing on the YouTube with a bunch of other people. And I was watching this, and they're good. I mean, I'm giving Aaron shit, but like I haven't seen the latest one yet, but they're good. He's got some quality people on there, which also, I think it was the same one. They started talking about, and I got to get this in soon too. There's a lot of shit I got to get in soon. I got to get these nuts in soon. I got to get Mark Manson in soon. The guys were talking about Mark Manson, and they were ripping on him for assorted reasons, which I don't really remember offhand, and so I don't want to repeat things and take people out of context, why yada, yada, yada. But I was like, damn, I wish I was in there because I would kind of want more details. Because I read his book, which is good, except for the two things in there that he's mind-bogglingly wrong about. But that book was also written a long time ago, and, you know, people move on in life, and sometimes they waffle, and sometimes they get stupid. Anyway, has nothing to do with it. I'm just rambling. Oh, wait, I gotta do this. Not ramble, I gotta do that. Oh, fuck, I was gonna do this also. All right, let me finish this story, and then we'll do this stuff. See, I'm really scattered today because it's really nice outside. This is what happens when the weather is good. When the weather is really good outside, my brain gets even more scattered than normal. And that's when I'm likely to, you know, not stay on track on the podcast or fuck things up or, I don't know, maybe open a second front by invading Russia. You know, things that messiahs do. Things that really intelligent people do. You know, messiahs. Messiah-level decision-making. Anyway, on this chat, Aaron and the gang were talking about the Virgin Toes and the fact that these people are buying plastic dolls to have sex with. And of course, I'm laughing my ass off because it's funny. Then, flash forward a couple of days later, I've got a issue of Reader's Digest, the large print edition for old people. I got it. Okay, I'm flipping through it. There's some reason I come across this advertisement from the Ashton Drake Galleries. You know, if you've never read Reader's Digest, and God knows there's probably, you're not missing anything. The only good thing in it really is the jokes, and even that. But there's always these advertisements in Reader's Digest for things like, you know, the presidential commemorative plate, and it's a dinner plate, and it's got Barack Obama's picture on it, and it's got, and it has 14 karat gold around the edge, and there's this little strip, you know, and it's you can get this for only 3 payments of $19.99, sure to be a collector's item. You know, oh, and the, who's that painter? Kincaid? It's the Kincaid Christmas scene. You know, it's this little porcelain, the little houses and the trains and stuff. And, oh, for only 17 payments of $29.99, you can own this beautiful Kincaid sculpture that brings to life the masterhood he has in painting with light. Remember, this is in the context of men who can't get women buying dolls to have sex with, okay? They're using dolls, D-O-L-L, dolls, to substitute for something they can't access in the real world. Women's. Who, yes, are messed up and have mental... Oh, God. Oh, girls. Oh, my God. So I'm at the gym, and I see this hot babe. And I'm checking out. It's like, she's pretty hot. She's also very flexible. I'm like, I did not know the human body could do that. And she's doing her thing, and I'm doing my thing, which is doing my thing and looking at her. And I'm getting ready to go in for the kill. And I get close... And I look down, and she's got the hairy legs. I'm like, abort mission, pull off attack. Do not open second front against Russia. Do not open second front by invading Russia. Pull off. We veered away. We did not open a second front. We did not invade the hairy Russian legs. We did not approach. Whew, it was close. The other day, I'm trail running down by the river, and I see this hot babe down right by the river, and I'm like, I'm going in. Shoo, veer on over. Oh, yeah, it's getting nice. Oh, yeah, nice butt. She's walking down into the, she's standing in the water. You know, say, yes, opening, go down. How's the water? Oh, perfect. Yeah, we're going right in. It's like a fucking recon mission. Right on in, right on into the Soviet border. And I look down, it's the hairy legs. It's like, abandon, abandon mission. Pull out. Do not open second front. Do not invade Russia. Do not open second front by invading Russia. Finish the other war first. Abort, abort. And we pulled out. And everything was okay. Whew. Let's just stop for a moment and bask in my genius. Let's bask in how fucking awesome I am. Let's just think about that for a moment. Let's just think about... I should be a messiah. I know better than to invade Russia. Now, some of you are saying, wait a minute, great one. Haven't you in the past come out and said that General Patton was right when he said that we should have went through Berlin and just kept on going and went ahead and invaded Russia anyway? Wouldn't that be invading Russia, which would be a mistake? Yes, it would. But see, here's the differences. Number one, now if they would have held Patton back until the war in Japan ended, it would have been a good idea. Because see, here's the thing. So we go, Europe done, right? Nazi Germany defeated. All right. Now, it's fresh after the war. We know the Cold War is coming and all this other stuff. But at that point, initially, there's still the war in Japan. And the Soviet Union wanted to get in on that war because they knew that, of course, just as they took territory in Europe, right? World War II allowed the Soviet Union to expand into Europe, to get Poland and all these other countries that they gobbled up. And, of course, part of Germany. The Soviet Union wanted to do the same thing over to the other side. Now, the tactical, the intelligent decision would have been, okay, we've defeated Germany. We stop right here. We distract General Patton with some shiny objects. We say to the Soviets, you know, hey, you know, the thing in China, in Japan's still going on. We could use your help over here. And yeah, you know, we'll be happy. You know, you can get some, we understand the spoils of war. We'll work all that out. So don't. And then the Soviets send all their stuff towards Japan. Okay, then we're going. And then, bam, the war in Japan is over. The Soviets are focused over there. They're not focused on the European side as much anymore. Then, like 3 o'clock in the morning, you go in General Patton's bedroom. You shake him on the bed. Yeah, why? What the fuck do you want? You say, General Patton, you're in command of all the Allied. You're in command of all the Allied military forces as of right now. Invade Russia, and then get the fuck out of the way. And you let Patton go straight through to Moscow. We kill the fucking commies. There's no Cold War. Okay, you can invade Russia if you don't do it when winter is coming, and you have a little fucking common sense, and you're not opening a second front. None of that has anything to do with virgin toes and sex dolls. So remember, the virgin toes, they're buying the sex dolls to substitute for something they can't get in real life, right? Kind of like a successful invasion of Moscow in the winter when you're opening a second front. But you're still the messiah, according to people today. Okay. Sophia's first breath will take yours away. An amazingly, so truly real, touch-activated baby doll. Feel her breathe. Feel her heartbeat. She coos. Adding to her realism, this doll is approximately 19 inches long, fully posable, and weighted. So my friends, this is a 19-inch doll of a baby. Like a baby that comes out of a woman's hooch. Okay, a baby. It is a baby doll that has a heartbeat, breathes, and coos. For women who can't find men willing to impregnate them and give them real babies. This is the feminist version of the sex doll. What is it men want? Men want to have sex with women. But if you're a man and you can't get a woman, you get a doll to substitute. What do women want, despite women claiming they don't want it? Because of evolution and all those. What do women want? They want to have children. When you can't have children, what do? You buy a fucking doll that breathes and has a heartbeat and coos. A precious miracle in your arms. You could spend hours watching Sophia sleep, breathing so peacefully and cooing so softly, dreaming little baby dreams. Her heartbeat is so gentle, reminding you of this precious miracle you've been given. All 19 inches of her wrapped up in your arms. Ever since her first breath, she took yours away. Am I the only one who sees this as being just absolutely fucking sick and pathetic? This is right up there with the virgin toes. My God, a woman who would buy this. Created by artist Linda Murray, a woman came up with this. Are you surprised? Sophia is our very first, which rather implies there's more coming. Well, and this kid actually, I was going to say it's white. It's actually kind of mystery meat-ish looking in this picture. I'm sure there's different versions coming in the future, different races, and there'll be like a female, there'll be a male, there'll be a gender neutral, there'll be a non-binary, there'll be like a tranny. You'll have to cover all the different flavors. Created by artist Linda Murray, Sophia is our very first so truly real doll that breathes, coos, has a gentle heartbeat. Her real touch is fucking registered. Her real touch skin is so soft, and she's weighted to feel like a real baby in your arms. There's women out there right now who are fucking coming on them. So it's like, oh my God, they finally created dolls to substitute for what I can't get, a baby. She arrives in a sleeper adorned with roses. A sleeper adorned with roses. Just waiting to be cuddled and loved by you because your life is so empty and you have no fucking friends that, like a fucking virgin toe in the basement, you need to cuddle a fucking doll. An incredible value, satisfaction guaranteed. A one-of-a-kind by Miss Murray can sell for thousands. but this special doll is only $149.99, or you may pay in 5 easy installments of $29.99 each, complete with a certificate of authenticity. Your satisfaction is guaranteed for 1 full year. Don't wait. Order today. www.ashtondrake.com/Sophia. Western civilization deserves to die. It really does. How is this a thing? Oh God, I don't know, to laugh or to cry. Okay. Speaking of laughing, Makeup Does Not Make You Less of a Feminist by Casey Martinez. I am a feminist. Gee, we'd have never figured that out, honey, if you hadn't have told us. Well, do you have your little Sophia doll? Or are you gonna wait a while? Are you gonna go get a couple of dogs first and then find out that you're so broken as a human being that you can't even relate to dogs, and so you need a fucking fake baby that breathes so you can cuddle with that, whatever the fuck it is. I am a makeup wearing, clothing obsessed feminist. I read InStyle magazine and always leave Sephora with glittery swatches lining my arms. Now, I don't know what Sephora is either, nor do I care. Even though I care about my appearance, I wonder how many tattoos and piercings she has, I still fiercely and vehemently consider myself a feminist. Oh, good for you, sweetie. Although there have been times when I have wondered if by beautifying myself each morning that I am compromising my agency as a woman. No, you're not, because you don't have agency. You're a woman. Okay? It's women don't have agency. The patriarchy forces you to do everything. You're not responsible for anything. It's always your prerogative to change your mind. You know, kind of like it was Hitler's prerogative. He could have changed his mind and said, hey, let's not open a second front by invading Russia. And then maybe today he would actually be regarded as a messiah by a large number of people instead of just by basement-dwelling Nazis who probably have sex dolls. I have heard other women whom I respect and admire. No, you hate other women. You do not respect and admire them. You may pretend to respect and admire them, but the moment any of them become a threat to you, you will trash talk them, catfight them, and stab them in the back. Kind of like the Me Too movement did to Abby when she showed up and was younger and thinner than they are. I have heard other women whom I respect and admire, talk about their appearance as though it was shameful to put effort into how they look. Well, yes, that's because feminists think that hairy legs and fucking being fat and tattoos and piercings and hairy armpits, they think that those things don't matter because it doesn't matter what you look like. They expressed feelings of distaste towards those. Wait, women expressed distaste towards other women? But wait, I thought women cooperated and women got along wonderfully. And why, if only women ran the world, everything would be perfect. Because women aren't like men. Men hate each other and they're always fighting, but women get along so well. Women are perfect. they expressed feelings of distaste towards those who choose to wear eyeliner and pretty dresses that hugged their curves. Yes, because all women hate other women who are more attractive than them. It's almost as if Casey Martinez doesn't fucking listen to this podcast. Well, she probably doesn't, because if she did, she would understand all of this. Yes, feminists hate women who don't have body hair and don't have rolls of fat. That's right. Do they have this opinion because they think makeup decreases their value? No, they have that opinion because they hate women who are more attractive than them. How many fucking times do I have to say this over the years? Is this ever going to fucking sink in? Okay, women hate women who are more attractive than them. Okay, you do not open a second front by invading Russia. These are two of the most basic fucking concepts in the history of the human species. But oh no, no. We fucking Nazis and feminists just can't figure this shit out, can you? Or perhaps they think men will not take them as seriously if they wear lipstick. Lipstick. Honey, men do not take feminists seriously, period. And any man who takes women, takes feminist, not women, any man who takes feminist seriously is not a man. That is called a beta male. I have wondered about these questions on several occasions. Oh, she's wondered about this like twice. Oh boy, she's a fucking intellectual. I have wondered about these questions on several occasions, and each time I still ended up with the same conclusion. Get ready for the hamster wheel. I feel better and more confident when I wear makeup. My feels! Oh, she feels better if she's wearing makeup because she knows she's ugly. And she knows that she needs to be more physically attractive so as to manipulate the men around her into agreeing with her feminist stupidity, into picking up heavy objects for her, into opening doors for her. And then, of course, she wants to be attractive so that when she disagrees with a man and starts attacking him, other men around her will take her side because she's pretty. See, this is all manipulation. This is one. No, you do. You're wearing makeup to manipulate other people. You're wearing makeup to appear more attractive than you are, and that is a manipulation tactic. If you could pick up your own heavy objects, you wouldn't need to wear makeup. Okay? Feminism, particularly intersectional feminism, is the understanding that everyone should be treated with equal respect and acceptance. Unless, of course, you're a white man, you have a job, you're a Christian, you're a Mormon, you're a fundamentalist, you're a white nationalist. Yeah, other than that, oh, you're a cisgendered man, right? You're not a feminist. But yeah, other people, there's other people now, like trannies, homos, Muslim rapist. Oh, I'm sorry, it's not rape if you're a Muslim. Shit. I keep making that mistake. Muslim lovemakers. See, those people should all be treated with equal respect and acceptance. Intersectional feminism is a specific form of feminism that encompasses all genders, sexes, and aims to create and protect equal rights for every individual. Again, unless you're Christian, white, Mormon, fundamentalist, a Nazi, anti-feminist, Republican, regardless of how they live their life. What if you owned a bunch of guns? Are you feminist for gun rights?
No.
If a woman decides to wear makeup, it does not hinder the intersectional feminist cause. Well, that depends on who you ask, because there are some feminists who are going to tell you it does hinder the intersectional feminist cause. And none of you can be right or wrong, because there's no objective standards in something which is completely subjective and based on emotions and feels, such as the intersectional feminist cause, whatever in the fuck that is. By encouraging everyone to live their best lives, we are only strengthening the feminist movement. Okay, you're not encouraging everyone to live their best lives. You are encouraging women to drive men away from them. You're encouraging women to bring in Muslims to rape them. You're encouraging women to vote for higher taxes that fucks up the economy. You're not encouraging people to live their best lives. Where is this shit coming from? History has glared down upon women who dared to live colorfully, and it is now time to embrace individuality rather than reject it. Yes, because feminism is certainly about individuality. As long as you conform to what feminism says you're allowed to do. And while I personally do not wear makeup for any other reasons besides the confidence, see, what she's hinting at, I'm not wearing makeup to look good to men. Which, yes, you are. You're wearing makeup so that you look physically appealing, so you can manipulate men. I'm not saying she's successful at it. I don't know what she looks like. I'm sure she can't possibly be that attractive. And while I personally do not wear makeup for any other reasons besides the confidence I feel each time I draw the perfect cat eye or wear a bright red lipstick, it is not our place to judge or criticize anyone's reasons for how they look. Oh, listen, feminists are not going to judge and criticize other people for their appearances. Aw, you're so enlightened. I wish I was enlightened like you are, but I'm not, because I will make fun of feminists for being fat. I'm going to make fun of you for being old. I'm going to make fun of you for being wrinkled. I'm going to make fun of you for being hairy. I'm going to do that. Are you better than me because you don't make fun and judge, because you don't judge or criticize people's reasons for how they look? No, she doesn't say she doesn't. They don't. It's not our place to judge or criticize how people look. She says it's not our place to judge or criticize anyone's reasons for how they look. See, we can't criticize their reasons. Well, why are you fat? Well, you can't stop eating. Well, you can't criticize the reason I'm fat. No, actually, I can. Right? Why are your legs hairy? Because you haven't shaved them. Well, you can't criticize the reason my legs are hairy. Oh, yes, I can. Physical appearance should in no way impact the amount of respect they receive. I can agree with that. What should impact the amount of respect you receive is your accomplishments. So, I don't know, let's say you're a tranny, but let's say you wrote the instruction code for the RISC chip, which is used in virtually every piece of modern technology, and in the process made technology more efficient, more effective, and arguably made the world a better place. See, in that case, I can put you beyond criticism because you've actually achieved something. Let's say that you're a feminist who writes an article in a fucking magazine trying to justify how you can be a feminist and still wear makeup because you've never actually done anything in your life other than go to college and probably get a worthless degree. Yeah, I can criticize you because that's not much of an achievement. You haven't done anything, okay? Let's say that you're a messiah, right? You descended, you were reborn, you were Jesus, you came back, you're a messiah, and then you say, hey, I think I'm going to open a second front by invading Russia. See, I can criticize you for that, because that's not a good decision, despite what your minions may say about how messiah-like you are. Because messiahs don't do things like that. As a woman, I'm surprised it took us this long. As a woman, I feel strong and independent, which is a fundamental pillar of feminism. Right up there with blaming white men for all of your problems and buying dolls of babies that breathe and have heartbeats so that you can pretend you have a child even though no man wants to ever stick a penis inside of you. Oh my God, dude, they should make sex dolls for the virgin toes that then give birth to the little baby dolls that breathe and have heartbeats. And then, like, the virgin toe and a feminist could buy it collectively, and the virgin toe could bang it, and then the baby doll would pop out, and he could give it to the feminist. And they could, I gotta think about that. That might be a thing. And by supporting other women, women don't support other women, and by supporting other women who have different values than me, I am further demonstrating that I am a feminist, regardless of my glittery eyeshadow or Symphora membership card. Oh, she's demonstrating she's a feminist. She's virtue signaling that she's a feminist by supporting these other women. Oh my goodness, she's supporting other women. Aw, the problem is though, honey, I'm probably supporting you thanks to the redistribution of wealth, thanks to taxes. Ah, fuck you, bitch.